So today is August 7th, 2014, and we're in Daisy and Harold Northway's home, just outside of Toke. Thanks, Daisy, for having us. And Barbara Solarius is here, and I'm Leslie McCartney. So, Daisy, we were just going to start off, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, who your parents were.
I was born in the village of Healy Lake, and my parents are Frank and Ellen Felix. Mm-hmm. And in the late 40s, my mother and dad moved us out of Healy Lake and relocated us to, first of all, the Big Gersel, where they had temporary shelters for us to live in. The people that came out of Healy Lake at that time, I believe there was like maybe 10 people, I'm not entirely sure, but at least 10 people, and those were the survivors of the epidemic that had hit Healy Lake during those early years of the 40s. I think we stayed there, and I was very, very young when it happened, so I'm not sure of the details, but we must have been there for under a couple of years, and then from there on we moved down to the Little Gersel, and I believe we stayed there till I was at least 4 or 5. And then by that time there were people that were around during those years that worked for the Alaska Road Commission that told my mother that as children, or that, you know, at least myself, my sister is 12 years older than me, so she was still school age, and my mother was told that we had to attend school. So at the age of 6, I started school in Dot Lake, so I figure we moved there probably prior to that time, maybe 4.5, 5, because that's where my father died as well, in Dot Lake, after he became ill. So from the time I started first grade through the 8th grade, I remained in Dot Lake. And attended school here in Toke for a short time. Then my mother, you know, on the death of my father, became a single parent. So she had to look around looking for work and stuff to support us children. So while we remained in Dot Lake during the winter months for school, our summer months were spent up at the 40 Mile Roadhouse from the time I was 8 years old until I was about 21 when I left there. So that's my childhood.
And did your mom, because she was a single mom, did she have like maybe a rabbit snare line or something like that to help feed people?
Yes. My father became ill while we were living in Little Gersel. And yes, we lived a pure subsistence lifestyle. My mother went out and hunted and fished and did whatever she could to support to support us. Like I said, there was an older sister who is still alive today. She's like 12 years, I would say 11 and a half years older than I am. And then I had a younger brother who has since then passed. I would say maybe a year or so younger than I am. So, I don't know what she did, you know, back in the day for, like, you know, milk and stuff. I'm sure there was places where they could get those things, but we lived purely a subsistence lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of work for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you have any aunts or uncles around you, or was it pretty much your mom and the kids?
There were, I believe, another family there in Little Gersel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The epidemic that came through Healy Lake that you had to leave, was that the flu?
I can't remember okay. right at the moment. I know what it is. It's not diphtheria or anything like that, but there was something, I forget.
Scarlet fever? Scarlet fever.
It killed a number of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you said your dad had been sick. What was he?
I'm not really sure of, my dad, he may have had a heart attack or something that caused him to become paralyzed from waist down.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Right. Gosh. So because you were going to school, you guys didn't get out on the, did you get out on the land a lot to go? Did your mom have a trap line too or anything? Or was it mostly subsistence that she did?
No, not while while we were growing up in Dot Lake. I don't recall my mother ever having a trap line, because by then, she worked over at the lodge and other places and was able to bring in a little bit of money so that we were able to have, store-bought food.
Mm-hmm.
But the little village that I came from, everybody helped each other out. And there was a family there, Peter Charles and his family, and they always took Mom with them when they went hunting. And then, of course, if some of us kids, as we got older, went down on the copper with them to get salmon and things. So, we still ate wild game, beaver, and anything that was caught in the village, it was always shared.
Right.
So did you go to the Charles Fish Camp? Was that it? Do you remember where that was on the copper?
I don't think they actually had a fish camp. They just went down there. It wasn't, I don't think it was copper, actually. It was Chestachina, and it was to, Jerry Charlie's dad's camp.
Okay, Walter Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Not Walter Charlie.
Not Walter.
That wasn't his name.
Frank.
Frank Charlie. Mm-hmm. But we were, I don't think we were teenagers then. I remember we went down there with them, and when they got fish, got back to the village, and he shared with everyone.
Mm-hmm. And so you learned to cut fish and everything, do dry fish, and just by being there.
Everybody had to learn that back in the days. Life wasn't easy. We knew how to... We were out in the woods carrying guns when we were like 8 years old, shooting rabbits and stuff. And, had to learn how to skin it.
Mm-hmm. And how to cook it.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever go down further towards Wrangell, St. Elias Park that way, or were you mostly?
No, I personally never did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many people lived in Healy Lake then? Just do you know before the epidemic came, and that what moved the entire town out?
I would have to look at some information I have. I don't, I don't remember.
Right.
How many. All I know is that. Healy Lake was a big village, had a lot of families, and when my parents left, they did a mass burial of 5 people at one time, and that was the last act that they did before they left the village.
Right.
I don't really, remember, maybe... Joanne Polson, who is, Chief Healy's granddaughter, would have a little bit more information on that. Right. I don't know,
Were both your mom and your dad from that area too?
No, actually my dad came from the Ketchum Stock area, Mansfield. My grandparents are buried up up by DeThought, but I don't know where, you know.
And your mom's?
My dad died when I was very young, and I don't have any memories of him at all. So.
And you don't remember his parents were gone by
no,
then?
No.
And what about your mom's parents?
My mother actually came from the old village of China. She was adopted into Hilly Lake as a baby. And so she has, you know, she never had any knowledge of her relations. Her relations were the people who adopted her.
Right.
And so that's who I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And Dot Lake, how many, was Dot Lake a fairly large community when you were growing up there?
I think there was, let me see. There's a town.
Oh, okay.
If I can remember, there's a Charles's.
That's okay.
I'm not sure, but I know that the primary family was the Charleses, and there were the Lukes, then my mother, Felix, and then Chief Andrew Isaac and his wife, and then Grandma Bessie Walter and her son. So, I would say, and you know, I stand to be corrected here, 6 to 7 families.
Yeah. And they had a school, obviously, because you went
there.
Yes,
they had a school.
Right.
Yes.
And where did your teachers come from? Were they local teachers or they brought in?
They brought in people.
Yeah.
And then you talked about your mom going up to the 40 Mile Roadhouse until you were 21?
She worked there for a long time. That's when I left
there. That's when you left. Did you ever work there, or was it just
your
mom?
Yes, I did. I did. Mm-hmm. Until I was 21.
And it was time for you to move on.
Mm-hmm. Then later on, I think I went back and worked for a few more years.
So what kinds of things did you do when you worked there?
I did everything. I cooked, I ironed, I cleaned,
whatever needed to be done.
Yeah.
I imagine that was a pretty busy place at the time.
I fueled trucks and cars, checked oil.
A lot of business passed through there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
And then where did you go next?
I moved to Fairbanks and then round and about, you know, us wild and woolly teenagers, you know how we get, and I did other things, and, you know, eventually, I think, I don't remember, I moved back into this area, I think, for a short time. And then my mother and my stepfather at that time were living in the village of Northway, so I went up there. And shortly after that is when I met Terrell, and, you know, a couple of years later we got married. And
you lived in this area ever since you've been married then, Daisy?
Mm-hmm. We lived in Northway for a while, and then in the 70s, I think it was 1973 when we moved back.
To this area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what was Northway like when you lived there?
What was I? You know, I think it was a good place to live. It was, you know, quiet, and people, you know, truly did care for each other and to help each other. You know, there were other things that went along with, you know, my life there, but I don't care to discuss that part of it. But, you know, they, you know, at that time, I remember going down to the old fish camp there at fish camp, and fishing and that kind of stuff, and, you know.
Did you go out hunting there around Northway, or did Harold?
Oh, I personally never did. I'm not much of a hunter, you know, outside of when we were kids, and it was fun to go out and shoot rabbits and get fish and stuff, but, you know, I don't know. I just married, and I figure that's what husbands are for, you know, and I have sons, you know, and so I think they meet my needs, so I don't have to go out carrying a gun anywhere or have to shoot anything to get myself food.
Yeah. Is Harold originally from Northway?
Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's why his name is Northway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But do you still fish and put up fish?
Yes, I do. That's a miss there. We get fish from the Copper River. We have friends that, you know, give us fish, and so that we do this every year. We can jars and jars of fish, and we share those with some of the children that, you know, like one that lives out in Wisconsin that doesn't get salmon. So we, you know, send a couple of cases, or someone goes out, then we send dry meat and, you know, the things that they like.
So Harold must still hunt then, or do you get
moose? Yeah, all my boys hunt.
Okay. So you get moose meat that way, and caribou.
We don't eat much caribou. I don't like caribou, neither do my children. So
moose. Primarily.
Mainly moose and fish.
Right. Any of them trap beaver or muskrat or anything like that?
No, I think throughout the years, you know, because of where and how I grew up as a child, I think, you know, we had to eat what was put in front of us. It was between, I think, starvation and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so throughout the years, I think, you know, because my mother started working and stuff, I felt like I had a choice in what I could eat. And so while I eat fish and moose meat and moose stomach, fish stomach and all that stuff, still there's some stuff that I just absolutely cannot. You know, I eat duck maybe once a year. That's spring duck.
Right.
But I'm, you know, I don't, it's not consistent on my menu here at home.
So muskrat is not on the menu.
No. Yeah. You know, we ate all that stuff, you know, when we were kids growing up. But somewhere in between then and here and now, I think, you know, the taste buds must change. Or maybe it's psychological thinking, is that, you know, now we have a choice. And if I don't have to eat it, I don't want it.
So are your boys still all local then, Daisy?
I have one in Wisconsin, and the three that live here. Not here, one's in Fairbanks, and two here.
Right. So they're still close by. Yeah. And they all went to school in the local area then?
They went to school here in Tope.
Yeah. What's your son in Wisconsin do?
He's a carpenter. Yes. Yeah, he put himself through school and became a journeyman carpenter, and has been one for the last 20, maybe 15, 20 years.
And you got lots of grandchildren nearby?
No, not really. Yeah. I have a total of 8 grandchildren, and I have, I think, 4 of them here.
Okay.
In the area.
In the area.
Mm-hmm.
When we came in, you were showing us your sewing. So when did you learn your beading and your sewing?
I think I was trying to put that together as I was thinking about the time when we left Little Gersel and when we went to Dot Lake. I'm not sure exactly whether I was 5 or must have been 5 because, no, I must have been 6 because, you know, we started school in Dot Lake that fall. My birthday is in December, so I must have been either 5 and a half or so when I started school. So I remember very distinctly, I think, that my mother was teaching me how to sew prior to the time that we moved to Dot Lake. I remember, I think when a, and I don't know why I remember this, but it was a heart. Made with all her mixed up beads, you know, because back in the day it was so hard to even get those kind of beads that we have today, that we learned to use the scrap beads to sew. So I figure I must have been 4 or 5 when I did that. And I only remember that because nowadays when you teach children how to sew, and, you know, at that age you think they'd be very, very young. And it's such tedious work that I don't think children nowadays have the patience, you know, to... And back then, we didn't have what they have today, radios and games and stuff to distract us. This is what we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of survival and teaching us life skills.
Mm-hmm. And they also, you'd learn to sew fur then, too?
No, I really don't get into fur sewing so much. Mm-hmm. I do moccasins and I do gloves, but... I can only do so many at a time because my allergies.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But, you know, I think the focus here is on the use of...
Well, we're also interested in life,
mm-hmm.
sort of your life growing up more generally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember... my mother telling me stories about how her and Dad used to go from Healy Lake when everything was well, you know, how they used to go up into the Robinson River, mm-hmm. up into the mountains, mm-hmm. to go sheep hunting. Mm-hmm. They did that by sled in the wintertime. And I don't remember her ever saying anything about if they went any further beyond that point. So just some extra information. But her and my dad did do a lot of traveling to fish and hunt and
right.
kind of stuff.
And then did they bring the kids with them or did the kids stay back with other people?
There were, I think, many times when they took us, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day, everybody took their kids everywhere. You know, you just taught them to be quiet out in the woods. And like in the summertime, when you go berry picking, you teach your children to be quiet because, you know, noisy children will attract a bear.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Because of the cubs and similar sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taught to be aware of our surroundings, to get up. You know, when you're in the middle of the berry patch, you get up every now and then and look around you. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, tell your children to be quiet. I took mine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you talked about going down to Chistochina to get to a fish camp. Did you ever go out the Nebesna Road or mostly down to Chistochina?
Mostly to Chistochina. I don't recall going beyond that for, you know, in my lifetime.
Yeah.
From the times that you were at Dot Lake and a little Gersel and everything, you've seen the landscape. Has things changed on the land or with the animals at all since you were young? Do you think of anything?
I don't think the landscape changed so much. You know, maybe there's more growth. Like at the big Gersel, my mother pointed out to me, you know, and say La Fury Lake, you know, I guess if you were coming east, it'd be on your right. Somewhere back in there is where she said they set up temporary shelters because one of the men who they brought out from Healy Lake was sick, but not from, you know, what killed the rest of the people in Healy Lake. He was sick, so he died there, back there in this little camp. But there's a lot of growth now, new growth over the years.
Trees growing up.
And I, a few years ago, and I've been back to Healy Lake since then, and I don't think it's changed so much. The old village itself, no one lives there in the old village. It's all grown up, you know. Some of the cabins are still there. My mother and dad's cabin was still standing, although the roof had fallen in, you know. But there was the old wood stove still in there that I seen, and few pots and pans, and, you know, I think somewhere I have the old washboard that my mother used, you know, that I brought back.
Yeah.
But Little Gersel, I think, I've never been back there. I've been wanting to, and I told my nephews that one of these days I'd like to go back in there just to look at the little cabin that, you know, my dad built for us before he became ill. My dad was also a carpenter, so during those years, you know, he worked. You know, he worked on the boat, and, you know, by that time, I think Delta was getting settled. So he helped to build some of the older homes there in Delta. So he was a carpenter and a sled builder, and that's where a lot of the people learned how to build sleds, racing sleds. He was a good sled maker.
Wow. And it was racing sleds, not sleds for cargo?
And so Little Gersel, I think, also is grown up. I don't know, you know, I think you might have to have four-wheelers. I don't think that it's drivable all the way down in there. Yeah.
And what about changes in the climate?
I was trying to think of that one day. I remember, I don't know if, and, you know, there again, I could be wrong, but as we were kids growing up in Dot Lake, I didn't recall it being as windy as it is today, because sometimes in the winter months you drive and it's so windy. You know, and I couldn't for the life of me remember whether it was that way or not. I know that it was in the earlier years of my life, there was extreme cold, you know, but it was up in this area as well. I think the weather pattern sort of changed, I would say, late 70s, 80s, where I think I remember... sounds like I'm rattling. Anyway, I remember the very last coal that we had when we were living in Northway. It hung in there for a long time. And I remember this because, you know, it was coming up on Christmas and we didn't even have a Christmas tree yet. We hadn't bought any gifts for the children. And my husband and his cousin were sent out to cut wood for some of the elderly people in the village because the airport lodge had one vehicle that could run. It was in the garage and it could go out to the wood yard. And so the owner made sure that the elders had wood to keep warm. But I think I remember it hung in there for a long time because we didn't even go to Anchorage until like a couple of days before Christmas. We're able, and there I bought an artificial tree and had one since then. And so I think, you know, although we've had some cold weather, I don't think that it's lasted more than 3 weeks at a time since then. And back then, I think it was so cold. I think what they say was probably hitting 70 wind chill factor.
Yeah, it's cold.
Yeah.
So how long did the trip to Anchorage take back then?
Probably not as long because, you know, I think it's the same kind of. We had a nice car and the roads weren't terribly bad. So I would say from Northway to Anchorage, well, it takes us 6 hours from Tok to Anchorage now. So I would say a good 8 hours maybe.
Yeah. But something you could do maybe in a day.
Yeah.
And did you go to Anchorage very often?
I think, you know, when we lived in Northway, this for some reason was easier to go to Anchorage than it was to go to Fairbanks. I don't know why that is, but we went more to Anchorage than we did Fairbanks.
Right. So when you were down in Northway, was it a fairly large community then?
Yes. There was.
And fairly close-knit people helped each other, like you're saying. Yeah. And it's quite small now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of people.
I think there was still drinking and stuff, but I don't think that it was as bad as it is nowadays, you know, and I'm not just saying Northway specifically.
Right.
It's all villages.
Yeah. Yeah. And when did you notice a change in that, Daisy, or has it just been a slow and gradual thing?
I think it's been a slow and gradual thing. Other things came into, drugs and, the combination of both, is what destroyed a lot of our people.
That's all my questions there. Did you teach your girls the beading?
No, she always thought it was too tedious. I tried.
Tried. Maybe the grandchildren will come and they'll want to learn.
My one granddaughter had the privilege of living with my mother. So she is a very good beater. She can sew just like her grandmother when she sets her mind to doing it.
How long did your mom live to then?
Pardon me?
How old was your mom when she passed away then?
She was 95.
Really?
Yeah.
And you said she remarried?
Yes, she remained, I believe, single until I was like 15 years old and she remarried.
Right, And then did she live back around the Tok area again? Or
Yeah, she lived, from Dot Lake to 40 Mile.
Yeah, right.
She worked there in Dock Lake for a long time, and I remember as a child we used to go to Fairbanks. I think, you know, somewhere along the line.
You were saying your mom worked in Dock Lake.
Yeah. She worked in Dock Lake, and I don't know. I know that we went to Fairbanks, but, you know, earlier I told you that she was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So I think sometime in the prior years, I think she must have been either in her late 20s, early 30s, when her and her cousin sister, you know, an Indian, mm-hmm. our first cousins,
yep.
are our sisters.
Yep.
Uh-huh. They found each other. Mm-hmm. And her sister filtered in on information about the family that she came from and where my mother originally was born. And so I think that's kind of what started some of the trips into Fairbanks. And she also told us that we stayed somewhere there in Delta. I think it's past Delta, mm-hmm. out there on the flats where, you know, her aunt who had married a miner, you know, they had a house there, but I don't recall any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that I remember some of the things in Fairbanks, like we went back down to the old village of Chena, and I remember going across the river to check the fish wheel with our uncle. You know, I remember those, mm-hmm. that story, but nothing else.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So she went back to Fairbanks because she had met more of her family there.
Uh-huh.
There was a reason,
yeah.
to go. Right.
Of her biological family.
Family, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then I met you when you were working with the Tribal Council in Northway.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did you work for the Tribal Council?
About 10 years. Mm-hmm. I think we're just shy of 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And when did you start working for them, Daisy?
I want to say 2002.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I've not worked now for, I think, about five years.
So what was your job or your duties when you're working for Tribal Council?
I was a tribal administrator.
Mm-hmm. So what issues of the day did you have to deal with in those 10 years?
Everything. I said if I had any brains at that time, I would have not taken the job.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, it was an interesting job. It eventually, I think, you know, towards the end of my time there, I think it became better, you know, but, you know, village politics is what it is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be very, very trying.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think a lot of tears on my part. And finally, I think I decided that I was not there to please everybody and anybody, that I could only do the best that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And after I decided that, then my thinking became a little bit better, and I was able to cope better,
mm-hmm.
with the people, some of the people who were so very negative about everything and anything that we did. You know, I didn't, you know, accomplish a whole lot of things, but what I did accomplish in my time there was that the whole place had been cleaned up. That they were grant ready when I left. They were able to, you know, I reopened the doors to agencies that had closed their doors to Northway, and I established PR.
Mm-hmm. Trust.
I was able to go back and talk to many of the agencies, and this kind of reopened the doors to those agencies that worked with Northway previously. We cleaned up old grant reports, and, you know, and one of the best moves that I made, I think, was to hire an outside bookkeeper who helped me in the final years of my time there to help me clean up. And she still works for them, and I tell them every now and then that they should hang on to her for as long as they can, because, you know, she's a good bookkeeper, and she's helped them out tremendously.
So when you went into the job, Daisy, did you have certain things that you wanted to accomplish in your time there?
Yes, I think, you know, like I said, Indian politics being what it is, there's a lot of dissension. I wanted to see the community come back together and to be able to work together and to hold each other up in all areas, you know, because I, you know, to me, I have not, having lived there, like I said, we moved out of there in 1973. Personal reasons. And at that time, I wasn't really paying attention to village politics. I was focused on my work and trying to raise my children and keep a home. So I was not focused, or neither did I allow it to enter my life, you know, so it would not be a distraction to me. And my husband was involved. He was, the chief of the village there for a time, and was active in the beginnings of ANSCA as we know it today. You know, a lot of meetings that he had to travel to and stuff like that. But I just wanted, I don't know, maybe continuity of the good things as we understand it, maybe, or as we've seen it previously.
What happened then? If it was there previously, what happened that kind of all went away?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure. And I guess I don't want to open a can of worms. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. But you
it's
wanted,
kind of a harder
but,
question.
But you wanted to bring it back. To bring it back. To
and,
what?
You know, I tried different things, you know, at Christmas time, you know, we had parties at the home where we had snacks and stuff, and tried to encourage people to come in and make handmade ornaments for the community Christmas tree and that kind of stuff, you know, we tried to promote those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. And you feel that you've accomplished some of that?
Some of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very hard to try and build that back up again.
Yeah, you know, we were, some of the constitution had to be revisited, bylaws had to be updated, and all those things I think were accomplished.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, not the continuity of things, but, you know, the important things were completed.
And the set on the right track for that to maybe continue with someone else.
Like I said, they were grant ready when I left.
Right. And now you're glad you retired from there?
Yes. Less stress. I am still very much involved in a lot of things. I haven't given up, you know, going to meetings and keeping myself updated on the current events, you know, and because I have a lot of people who call me still, you know, and ask for help, you know, because of my experience, you know, prior to working for Northway, before the United Crow Band closed down, I was there for 10 years as well.
Oh.
And I did a lot of social service work, so I knew, you know, and met a lot of people who meant anything to anybody. I was a fee agent, so I knew regulations, and well, I guess I was a jack of all trades, you know, master at none, but I knew enough to help people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Open the doors and, you know, whatnot.
So you're still down for meetings, you say. You still go down and keep involved in the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're on any boards or anything like that?
At
or?
The moment, I sit on the Interior Regional Housing Authority Board, and then I do some voluntary work for Interior Lutions Committee. I sit on their board as an elder representative. And try to help out here and there where we're...
Sounds like you're keeping busy.
Yeah, I like to keep busy. I mean, I really don't have a whole lot to do. I sew a lot, you know, because it's what I do.
Yeah.
You know? I enjoy doing it, so...
And you go to various craft sales to sell?
Mm-hmm.
Bazaars, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And me and my niece, my husband's niece, we go to bazaars together.
That's all I had.
That's all I had. Is there anything else, Daisy, that you think we've missed that's important for the stories of the communities?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I wanna...
Sorry, I couldn't be more helpful.
Oh, this was great.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh. No, this is great. It's great to hear about your life growing up and some of the connections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you very much, Daisy.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.